Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little windburnt after my shirtless bike ride today.
Trust me, I knew it wasn't you.
The guy had a morsel of conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, he wasn't wearing wrist guards when he was biking.
or leaning over the side of his bike, heaving, dry heaving from exhaustion.
Exactly. And he wasn't he didn't have a sign that said, "Help, my back is out."
All right. One joke self-deprecating was funny. That's just piling on.
let's go to piling on. Jordan Nolan.
Okay. Yes.
Pretty obvious cheap shot. Whatever.
He's vicious. Yeah.
Glove on. And he's, I still haven't seen if there's a word yet out that he's got suspended. Obviously, I think he will because they're playing tonight. He probably gets one or two games. But It's end of the second period. So Juenzo gets it. And I know Juenzo is not a fighter. Obviously, I understand it. But Luke Gazdik's a pretty good fighter. And that's their fourth line guy who I looked and had three different shifts in the second period. And it's 4-2. You're in a home game. Do the wins really matter that much to this team, to the coaching staff, that sometimes you don't say, okay, you know what? I'm going to send a message to our team that enough's enough. Luke, I'm not going to tell you to fight, but I'm going to put you on the ice every chance, and I'm giving you the green light to say whatever you want to do, kid.
Now, did Gazdik have a bunch of shifts against Nolan in the third period?
No, I went and no. Had none of them. It was the Nugent Hopkins line was out against him once. The Hall line was out against him twice.
So this is the thing, and I suppose it's more about Dallas Eakins than your comment and your thought processes. Why not put Luke in a position to go out there and send a message and stand up for Jesse Wensu and stand up for his team? Yeah, and I get what you're saying. I guess what I would say, and trust me, I'm the guy that beat that drum for years and years in this city too about how they're too easy to play against, which, by the way, is changing. I don't think it's nearly the same as it was at the start of the year. I think that this is slowly becoming a little bit more of a tougher test physically for teams, but it's taking some time. I didn't think that it was that egregious. I felt that once the Oilers got another goal, I felt like they had an opportunity to get back into the game with a bounce. And I saw Dallas treating that game like he absolutely felt they had a chance to come back. And I thought that's, just the fact that you say Nugent Hopkins was out there against Nolan's line, that makes sense to me. I think they were trying to get back into a game. So, yeah, it was a cheap shot for sure. And had somebody challenged Nolan, that would have been good. But I viewed it like the head coach was just trying to win a game. And I don't think that, quote unquote, wasting one to get back at Nolan is necessarily the way they needed to go last night.
And you know what? I guess I just look at it. At what point is it the right time? Because it never seems to be the right time. That's what I don't understand. Like,
well, I'll tell you when it's the right time. It's when somebody throws a knee out on Ryan Nugent Hopkins. It's when somebody throws a knee out on Taylor Hall or two hands one of the, nail Yakupov in the cheek.
Well, we had Sam Gagner's jaw broken, Ryan, and nothing happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I wouldn't say that nothing happened because nobody tried. I mean, Cassian just didn't want to fight. So short of sucker punching him and jumping him, I mean, I think Luke Gazdik was put in a tough spot in that situation. He tried to get the guy to fight over and over, and he wouldn't fight. So,
well, you know what's funny, though? The next game, like the first game, it was late when they had Gazdik on the bench and Cassian was yapping. That's when he mocked him. But the next game, Cassian had one shift against Gazdik. And you're in Vancouver. We all know where the standings are. They're not changing at that point, win or loss in that game. To me, it's about saying, okay, you know what? Luke, you're going to go on, and every time they're on for five or six shifts, because at least then there's a better chance. And if Gazdik goes around and runs someone else, he's going to force Cassian because his teammates might say, you got to do something. But if you never even put yourself in a position for it to happen, it's never going to happen.
Well, I think Luke felt some responsibility to do something there, and I think he tried. I just think, and if you remember, it was not too far off the Sean Thornton incident as well, which I know for a fact is on Gazdik's mind, about the days are kind of gone of just dropping your gloves and dummying somebody. That you just don't do that anymore. That's and especially for Gazdik, who is still trying to make his mark and be an every night player. So listen, buddy, I agree with you in terms of frustration level about scores going unsettled with this team. I think over the past couple of years, there have been a number of scores that have gone unsettled, and I think that it's a problem. It was certainly a problem, but I see them putting players in the lineup now that can take better care of these sorts of things And I thought, despite the fact they were getting so badly outplayed last night, they were in a hockey game. For Gazdik to have taken it upon himself as a fourth-line player to go out and do something dumb last night would not have put him in a good position with his head coach. So I don't blame Gazdik for not wasting one. And I can't really blame Akins for feeling like he was in a hockey game last night when it got the two goals.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the LA Kings, man. They give up two goals a game. Never mind three goals in the third period. So
yeah, I hear you. I know all, what you're saying.
I sense with Edmonton, when I look at the organization overall, Ryan, I look at this as a microcosm of a bigger issue where they, for years, it's been the same issues in Edmonton that haven't been rectified. The team has no size in their top six. They've had no size in the top six for 3 years, and nothing's changed, right? They don't have any big, mean defense, but I understand that it's hard to acquire them. But none of the main problems have ever been fixed. So, sure, we switch out the fourth line guys and stuff. And so here's a chance where you've got a guy right now who, if you want to talk about having confidence on the team, I don't think there's a player who has more confidence in his role than Luke Gazdik. You've seen how he's handled himself this season. You've got a big, strong team in LA. And I'm not saying send the guy out to fight necessarily, but it's almost like they hold him back and, well, whatever we want to do, we don't want to put him in a situation in case something's going to happen. And I find like it's constantly Edmonton thinking, well, we're in this game. They're not in the game. It's the LA freaking Kings who don't give up any goals. They're not in the season. And nothing changes regardless of how big or small the situation is. That's what I see.
And I say this respectfully, I think it's easy for us to sit here and say that. But when you've put in, 10 hours preparing for that game, and when you've had three or four player meetings, and when you've been preaching discipline, and when you've been preaching, hey, we can be a good enough team to play with these guys, I think to just start wasting games isn't a great message to send. And it was a two-goal game last night. I don't blame Gazdik. You need to get a clear signal from your coach of some sort that, whether it's he purposely matches you up against the guy a few times or whatever the signal is, Gazdik's trying to be an everyday player. He's done a nice job scrapping, and the hope is he'll continue to do that. But he's trying to be an everyday player too. So for him to have gone out and just done something last night and made the decision himself that this is worth putting my team down and that we're not in this game, I think that's asking too much of him to make that call.
Well, I don't think he would make it because I think he's been told that that call can never be made. You're right. Like other teams.
And I do think we have talked on this show before. I do think that Dallas has overhandled Luke. I absolutely do think that. I think that he's been in some situations where I believe he's been told not to fight, where he's sort of feeling like he, and where Dallas has even said, I asked the player to make eye contact with me. Like, it's overhandling. I think at times this year he's overhandled Luke, and I think it was a little bit confusing for Luke to try and figure it all out. I think with those guys, you got to let them run on a certain amount of instinct, and if anything, you rein them in if they need it, but don't hold them back. And I think he has done that in the past. I didn't view last night as one of those nights, Luke.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. Join us. I did the interview with the Akins, Perron, and Gagne in regards to the practice situation. David Perron said, "Yeah, I didn't think at the start of the year we did it very much. We have room to grow. Same in our battle levels. I think they need to improve." Dallas Akins, he talked about the first day and it's more intense, the travel day. And I actually looked up the story, and there was an article written where Ladislav Smead talked about his first practice in Calgary was because there was a day off. And so sure, there's a theory to that.
Sure.
What I found, though, was Perron's comments were pretty obvious. He felt that his team overall, it's from experience, and they have a lot of whiteboard time right now because they still need to learn more. But eventually, the onus in his mind is, based on his time in St. Louis, it's up to the players to set the pace of practice.
Yeah, I would agree. And I heard what David said, and I know we got into it on the show last week a little bit about this. I believe that the amount of teaching Dallas has had to do this year in his mind has required them to stand in front of that whiteboard a lot. And David admitted in that interview that it kind of sucks the life out of practice when you have to do that, right? Like, it just, there's no two ways about it. Dallas even said it. I mean, when you have to blow drills down and bring guys in front of the whiteboard and you're teaching systems and teaching this and new players and all that, it takes too long. Whereas if you heard Perron talk about St. Louis, how guys had been there before, they kind of knew so they didn't need much of that. And that, I don't know that it's fair to expect that in a coach's first year, first of all in the NHL, but also first year with a new team. So If we're still talking about this three quarters of the way through next year, then there's an issue. I completely agree with you that there would be an issue if we were still talking about it at that point in time. But the hope is, from Dallas's standpoint, that that won't be the case next year, that the guys will know what's expected. The coaching staff will have it all planned out, and it can be there can be more pace to practice. But it's on the players to bring the competitiveness when the drills start. But Dallas at times doesn't necessarily want flat out. He sometimes wants to teach, and sometimes three-quarter speed is the way you got to do that in his mind.
Alish Hemsky today in the Ottawa Citizen was asked about it. He talked about it. Here's his quote, basically.
I haven't seen this.
Did you see it yet?
No, I haven't. You're reading it to me.
Okay, I'll read the entire thing. I don't know how to explain it. If somebody knew, they should step up and help them, but they haven't figured it out yet. Maybe it's just the kids. They have to step up and lead the team to the playoffs. They've been there for a long time, and it's their time. They can't only blame older guys or change their fourth line. They've got to start leading the team to the playoffs. Be leaders. That's probably the one thing. But they're all great guys and had a great time, and hopefully they'll turn it around and get into the playoffs. People deserve it there. It's a hockey city. People love their hockey, and it's painful to watch.
Huh. Well, the thing that stands out there for me is him saying that they need to be leaders. That stands out a little bit to me. I find that fairly hypocritical from Hemsky, to be honest with you. I think he had probably the worst practice habits on the team in his time here. So I think it's easy for someone like Alish to say that.
Here's the comment that he goes, they can't only blame the older guys or change the fourth line, which is bang on to what they've been doing for the last three. Because you think about it. All the complaints were that from the organization and fans, and at times you sense from the players that it was the fourth line. We've seen that rotation year after year, and it's meant nothing because they play 5 or 6 minutes a night. And they've shipped out all the veterans, and nothing's changing. So I've said it. I know people don't want to say it. I'm not sure the core group of the young guys are as good as everybody thinks they are.
Well, they're not. I mean, they're all good players, but collectively, they're not necessarily the right core. So they probably need different types of players like we talked about, but they've got to start leading the team to the playoffs. Be leaders is what Alish said. So, you know, I think that's interesting. Definitely interesting that Alish said that. I think it's fair to suggest that Alish Hemsky left a lot on the table from a leadership standpoint in his time here in Edmonton. I don't think he was the prototypical leader that was going to lead that team to the playoffs at any point either.
Yeah, I don't think he was. Do you think he was ever given? I don't think he was ever looked upon to be a leader, because that's not. It's not his personality, right? Not every player is meant to be a leader. Like when Hemsky.
So is Ryan Nugent Hopkins supposed to be? Well, is Nail Yakupov supposed to be?
No, that's my point. But I think what he's suggesting is, look at how many of the young players got letters early in their career, Ryan, when maybe they weren't ready for it. What about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose. I've said this before. I think that the Oilers had an opportunity to ask Taylor Hall to take the next step in his professional development by making him the captain of the team. Some people feel like it was too early, but they've got Andrew Ferentz here now for 4 years, and I don't know that that changes in that time. I think they had an opportunity to ask Taylor to take a step and didn't, and that's fine. They have their reasons, and I don't pretend to know everything that goes on behind the scenes and every player inside out and backwards. I don't have a problem with them putting a letter on Taylor Hall. I don't have a problem with them giving these young kids some leadership expectations. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Alex saying those things. I think for the most part, he's fairly respectful, but they need to start being leaders. That it feels like there's something more there that we maybe don't know that he's talking about. I'm not sure. But it just seems like Alex Hemsky pontificating on better leadership needed at Edmonton. Wow, that guy was first off the ice every practice I ever watched that team have. So I like Alish, but I just don't know he's in a position to throw those kinds of stones, because that guy, he had 12 years in Edmonton to develop a one-timer. Would have had 6 more power play goals every year from that spot had he ever taken the time to develop a one-timer. Never took the time, never did it. Everybody knew he had to. He didn't care. He didn't do it. He was first off all the time. And now he's going to talk about being a leader? I don't really get that.
Well, Shogar, there'll be more to this story for sure. I appreciate your time.
Okay, pal. Take care.